At this point, we're going to do a number which features Jimmy completely. I thought you'd all dig the idea. So I'll just like wander off and leave the whole stage to Jimmy P.
My name's Paul Wren. I'm a student here at Bournemouth University doing heritage conservation. I've been asked to talk about my exploits with the great Jimmy Page. School with his secretary's son, and basically when I left school his mother asked if I'd like to have a job there working in the gardens. So I went along for an interview as normal, met the head gardener there, and James came round and said hello and looked forward to seeing me working there. And then I didn't see him again for about 3 months because he was working on the album track for Death Wish 2. And he came back from there, and we used to see one another from time to time in the kitchens at breakfast time, but a lot of the time he used to spend in bed. He was coked out of his head.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true.
He didn't like his wife very much, and so most of the time he'd spend out of her way.
One day
when she wasn't there, he was the life and soul of the party. He'd come round, chat with everyone, and used to bring us drinks in the gardens when it was hot. He even used to give us the run of the pool on a hot afternoon, just told us to pack up work and start, go for a swim, cool down, just chill out. One afternoon, when Charlotte wasn't there, he came round, said, fancy a drink? And being a youngster, I was into sort of spirits at the time, and Bacardi and Coke I asked for, and he said, yeah, no problem, man. About 5 minutes later, he came out with this huge tray of drinks and a pint glass that was three quarters full of Bacardi, and he said, how much Coke do you want in there? And I sort of looked at him and says, excuse me, James, but I'm on the bike, I've got to get home. And he says, just stay here and just chill out until you're ready to go home, there's no problem. And I was absolutely mashed by the time I got through it. But more fun than that was, sort of traditionally, he gave his wife a birthday party and back to 1982 when I was working there. They spent 4,000 quid on booze, and they had a huge marquee in the garden and a couple of hundred people, all of them sort of rock hangers-on, and a few guys from the music world. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I was in desperate need of a coffee, and so I was in the kitchen sitting in a huge kitchen, about 20 by 30. I'm sitting there and I've just run out of cigarettes, and James came in and sits down, he goes, how you doing? I says, yeah, not bad. He says, can you roll? And I said, yeah, I smoke roll-ups. And he goes, no, man, can you roll? And I said, yeah. And he says, great, because I'm too cut to manage it myself. So he plonks a big lump of dope down on the table and some cigarettes. And he says, oh, if you want any cigarettes, help yourself, they're in the cupboard. So I rolled him up about 6 joints, and he said, take one for yourself. And so I dutifully did, helped myself to a packet of cigarettes, and about half an hour later Jimmy was asleep on the snooker table, and I sort of went through, saw him, and found Rick, his personal assistant, who carried him off and put him in a bed. remember taking him up the river in his launch to his recording studio at Cookham, another converted watermill. He has this thing about watermills, or water anyway. He's got two watermills and a castle that's surrounded by a moat, which he collects ornamental ducks on. I met John Paul Jones and Robert Plant in the house one day. Unfortunately, I never met John Bonham because he died about 3 or 4 months before I joined the household. I also met a few members of Yes who came round because there were rumours at the time of Yes and Zeppelin, or parts of Zeppelin, joining together to make a sort of super band. The rough running title was going to be XYZ, X Yes Zeppelin. He was sort of in and out of the studio, you know, you didn't really ask him what he was doing. He did write a superb classical piece of music, which I think he really should release. He got us to go in and sit down in the lounge one day, and he played the full piano part to us, and it was absolutely beautiful. He should have released it well before Paul McCartney had his rather abysmal effort at writing a classical music score. He was always doing something that would surprise you. One morning we got there, and all the doors were open, and the lounge is about 150 feet long, and it's got French windows all the way along one side, which runs along the mill race, and all you could see were red lights inside. And the next thing you knew, he was bouncing around the lounge playing electric guitar through a full concert PA system. It was almost mind-blowing. I mean, how the neighbours didn't complain, I don't know, but most of the noise was sent off over the River Thames. You just stood there and just listened and watched. It was absolutely amazing. I still don't know what he was playing. It's nothing I've ever heard before or since. I think he was just having a jam session. I remember at his daughter's party when she was 13, the doorbell went and I answered the door, and there was Roy Harper there. Roy Harper is a sort of famous sort of folk soft rock musician from the late 60s. I didn't know who he was, and so I went and got Jimmy, and Jimmy just walked up to sort of see him, took the present for Scarlett away from him and told him off. He just slammed the door in his face and turned back round and walked back inside to the party. Just in the darkest depths of Mordor, I met a girl.
Gollum and the evil one crept up and slipped away with her. Yeah. And ain't nothing happened.
Library is absolutely wonderful. He's got the whole of Aleister Crowley's occult library, all in handwritten or leather-bound volumes, and there's a huge silver sort of devil sitting on the earth statue in a big glass dome, very sort of Victorian, superbly gothic. The same picture can be found on an Angel Witch album, but the real thing is absolutely amazing. It also contains Aleister Crowley's personal hand-painted tarot deck. It's a very weird atmosphere in the library. It's almost as if you're, it's almost as if there's somebody else in there while you're there. It's a bit scary. A couple of good books by Lewis Carroll though, because he wrote a lot of occult books, although not under the name of Lewis Carroll. He used his real name rather than the nom de plume. That his record collection was incredible. He had beam television, twin videos that projected stereo images onto an adjustable screen, all controllable from a remote control armchair. The drinks cabinet was out of this world. I'd hate to think how much alcohol went through that house in a year, but it was pretty phenomenal. But they had no domestic awareness whatsoever. I really don't think Jimmy can cook. Tea or coffee I think he can manage, but I'd hate to see him cooking. Because every weekend when Rick went home, you know, the place would be an absolute tip when on a Monday morning when Rick, before Rick got back. His wife was, well, had been a supermodel, and she was originally going out with Eric Clapton in the days of the Yardbirds. But Jimmy stepped in, took her away, and I think Eric Clapton had the last laugh on that one. That she could actually drink 3/4 of a bottle of gin in one hit at 9 o'clock in the morning without pausing or taking breath. I mean, you'd regularly see Jimmy, you know, walking around in a shirt undone to the waist, and he'd have cigarette burns on his chest where he'd just gone to sleep with a cigarette on. Also, Jimmy had a habit of leaving his guitars wherever he felt like leaving them. I guess it was his house and he could. But I remember carrying a PA speaker one day through one of the corridors, and this thing went thud against my foot. And I sort of took a couple of steps back and looked down in the darkness because there were no lights in the corridor. It was his favourite Les Paul just lying on the floor. And so I sort of vaulted over the PA speaker and put the guitar somewhere slightly safer before proceeding. I think I'd probably been killed if I'd actually trodden on it and broken it. They say Led Zeppelin was a mafia, and I wasn't going to argue with it. Peter Grant was a very intimidating man. And Scarlett just used to walk up and say, "Hi, fatso," and run away giggling, and everybody else had to try not to laugh because you wouldn't want to argue with this guy, he was mean. I worked for him for a year, and it was a really good year. Unfortunately, he got done on a drugs charge. A lot of the people in the household, even though, you know, we knew that there was no problem, but he got sort of slightly paranoid, and so half the staff got the boot.